If you would, I'm going to call it a day of Thanksgiving, but show the next slide, Sebastian. How many of you have seen this painting before, or one like it? I think most people have. It represents the first Thanksgiving. Now, I thought what I would do this morning is first have a little history lesson. And the reason is because there are so many people that have come here from other countries that might be listening this morning, and you don't know the past history, you never were taught the history of our Thanksgiving time. And then there are others that are in the current school system, and some of the teachings are a little bit different from what I was taught. I'm going to teach you what I was taught. And so I want you to know that, first of all, in 1620, a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers, an assortment of religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith, and other individuals lured by the promise of prosperity and land ownership in the New World. After a treacherous and uncomfortable crossing that lasted many days, they finally came into the tip of Cape Cod, far north of their intended destination, lower in Virginia, and they came to the mouth of the Hudson River. 1 month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay, where the Pilgrims, as they are now commonly known, began the work of establishing a village by Plymouth, or at Plymouth. And by the way, anybody have been to see Plymouth Rock? You've seen the rock? I've been to see, you can't step on it now. It might crumble, then we lose the rock. But you can actually see the rock, and I've eaten fish and chips while I'm sitting watching the rock. You know, anybody who'd sit for hours and watch a rock, they're probably a rock. But anyway, that's what I've done. And I remember those days. I was taught, my parents sat me down and said, "Now, you know what that rock represented?" And we talked about it. And I think it's important to understand our roots. Only half, by the way, most of them stayed inside the ship because they didn't have shelters built. And many of them died in the ship. As a matter of fact, when the winter was over, only one half of the total number that had come survived the first winter. And so they began in March, they remained and walked ashore and were beginning to make their plans for their shelters. And they had an astonishing visit from Abenaki, which was a Native American who greeted them in English. They were in shock. Several days later, he returned with another Native American, Squanto, a member of the Pawtuxet tribe, who had been kidnapped by the English sea captain and sold into slavery before escaping to London and returning to his homeland on an exploratory expedition. Squanto taught the pilgrims, and weakened by malnutrition and illness, how to cultivate corn, extract sap from the maple trees, catch fish in the rivers, and avoid poisonous plants. He also helped the settlers forge an alliance with the Wampanoag, a local tribe, which would endure for more than 50 years. In November 1621, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and invited a group of fledgling colonies, Native Americans, to join with them, including the Wampanoag chief Massasoit, now remembered as America's first Thanksgiving. That's what this picture is representing. So it was actually a small group of settlers, pilgrims, and a large group of Indians, twice as many Native Americans as there were pilgrims. they came together, and for 3 days they pigged out. Now, I'm going to tell you, they partied. It's said they ate so much that they really had a true Thanksgiving. They ate for 3 days. How many of you eat for 3 days in your Thanksgiving? Sure you do. What do you do with that extra turkey? Make turkey sandwiches and all kinds of stuff. Well, I want you to know that this was our what we talked about. But where did our holiday come from? During the American Revolution, the Continental Congress designated one or more days of Thanksgiving a year. And in 1780, George Washington issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation by the national government. He called upon Americans to express their gratitude for the happy conclusion in the country's war of independence and successful ratification of the U.S. Constitution, and to give God glory for all he had done. His successors, John Adams and James Madison, also designated these days as Thanksgiving to God during their presidencies. In 1817, New York became the first of several states to adopt this annual Thanksgiving holiday. In 1827, a noted magazine editor, profile writer, Sarah Joseph Hale, who, by the way, wrote stuff like Mary Had a Little Lamb, launched a campaign to establish a Thanksgiving as a national holiday. And for 36 years, she published notes and contacted people to try to get Thanksgiving set aside as a legal holiday. Abraham Lincoln finally heeded her request in 1863 at the height of the Civil War in a proclamation entreating all Americans to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of our nation. He scheduled Thanksgiving for a final Thursday in November, and it was celebrated on that day every year until 1939, when FDR changed it, moved it up a few weeks so they could get more money flowing during the Depression. But then in 1941, he put it back to where it had been, and it has been there ever since. I wanted to share with you that because we have a long-running history of Thanksgiving. It's not been just shortly. It's been since the beginning. What is Thanksgiving? And I want to talk a bit about what it is, what it should be. And the reason I'd like to do that is because I feel like I look back in past days and we can learn some things from people, but also from the Word of God. So turn with me to Psalm chapter 100, and we're going to be reading together. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Then it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his holy name. There's more. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now I want to go back and begin by looking at each verse. First of all, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I want to talk about a minute about that. I think make a joyful noise is the way this is put. I was reading shout for joy to the Lord is in my scriptures. First of all, when they were to come into the house of the Lord, there are those that have grown up in quiet churches where they were taught reverence is staying quiet in church. You don't say anything. You don't do anything. If you do that, you're not reverent. Well, I went to a church many years ago, and it was Bucksport Holiness Church down along Bucksport, and they put on a show for God. And they were shouting and singing, and I'm going to tell you something. I was not offended. I actually got into it. I said, why? You know, we go to football games and shout. It's so deafening, sometimes you lose your hearing. It's so loud. Have any of you been to a stock car race? I have. And the shouting of people in the stock cars will make you deaf. You'll walk out of there with your ears ringing. And then we come to God and say, thank you, God. And I believe that when the scripture says make a joyful noise, he means shouting to the Lord. And I think at some point in praise to our Lord, we are called to make it audible. Now, I say that to say, how many men have, when you've been talking at the table, or is it just me, your wife will say, shh, 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 shh. You're loud. You need to hold it down. This is my wife to me. And I go, well, I don't care if they hear it. She says, but they might not want to hear it. Well, when we get to talking about the things of God, we should not care. We should praise God. And the world should know that we honor God with our voices. Now, when we come to Thanksgiving, I'd like to read a couple of other scriptures. Psalm 92:1. Turn with me there. Psalm 92:1. And read what the Lord has to say. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. And then 95:1-2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Some people think that music was added to churches down through the years because we just needed something to get it going. Our music was big in the world, so we added it to the church. From the very beginning, the way we worship God is through music. It's all the way, through there. Psalm 98:4. Shout for the Lord, for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. And then in Psalm 150:3-6. Psalm 150:3-6. And I apologize, my pages are sticking all over the place. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for the acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding trumpet, and praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding clash of cymbals. I believe we're called to praise the Lord, and we're called to sing as a church. We're called to give him thanksgiving. Now, what happens when we go home? How many of you have ever had someone who looked at you and said, you know, you go to church and you act one way, mom and daddy. When you get home, you act another. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you go to church and we're all going to be nice and look, and we're going to sit and we're going to be nice and we talk nice to each other. Then we come home and we yell and curse at each other. What's going on? In our homes, should it not be the same as in worship? Anybody tell me if you think I'm wrong. But we should worship God in our homes as well. I know some people say, what are you talking about? I think there ought to be singing at Thanksgiving. If we're going to give praise to God, why don't we sing hymns anymore? And do you know we used to do that? 100 years ago, families stood and sang hymns. Now, a lot of times they used their own instruments. Every family had instruments. Somebody in the family played an instrument. They had guitars or banjos or piano. My grandmother played the piano, and she could wail on a piano. And she would start playing, and we would just all gather around and start singing at Thanksgiving. Why don't we do that anymore? I encourage you as families to establish a new tradition if you don't have it. Sing a hymn, sing a song of praise, of thanksgiving praise when you come to thank him on Thanksgiving. And then the next part of the scripture is, it says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him in joyful songs, know that the Lord, he is God. Do the next one. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. One of the things that I think should be going on at Thanksgiving in our homes is the same thing that goes on in church. We should acknowledge that God made us. We're not accidents. My child needs to know that God made them special. And we ought to thank God that he made them special. How do we do that? On Thanksgiving, we should go around talking and sharing. Let me tell you how we do this. My granddaddy did this, and I was a boy ready to go out and play. And we had shotguns and rifles, too. We'd go out and shoot branches and birds and toad frogs. Didn't ever kill a deer, but we went out, and we wanted to do that. We wanted to get out of there and leave. And granddaddy would sit there and say, now we're going to spend time giving thanks to God. And then we'd go all around that table, and we had a long table, 18, 20, 25 at different times, and everybody shared. And then he would say, I thank God it all began with your grandmother in 1927. And he'd go through the whole thing and talk about where we came from, how when they were born, how thankful, and we're sitting there shooting spit wads under the table at each other. But he made us listen to it every year. Who we are, where we came from, and how God blessed us. If we don't share it in the home, who's going to share it? And you say, how do you make children sit there and listen? I don't know. We didn't want to be there, but we listened. Because it became a tradition, and we would say, oh, here goes granddaddy again. Get ready. But today, it is the greatest moments of Thanksgiving I can ever remember. But we ought to be singing songs too, and we would close with singing a hymn. Sing a song. How do you come together and acknowledge and thank God without singing a praise to his name? This scripture said you need to. We need to be doing that. Then it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and praise his name. Now, listen to this, and too many families, and I'm going to be careful how I say this. Too many families get together and they say, everybody tell us what you're thankful for. Okay, let's eat. What is that? Tell us what you're thankful for. Unless you tie it all together and say, do you know where that came from? And we praise his holy name. This is the Lord's. God brought your mother and your father together, and you're here because of it. And it's Jesus' hand that did that. When you're thankful, and somebody says, you know, I want to thank the Lord. I want to just tell everybody how thankful I am for this time that we get together. And you can say, do you know, we wouldn't have been able to do this unless so-and-so happened, and I'm sure that God had a hand in that. This is God's plan. And he has blessed us, hasn't he? And he blessed us. We actually use his name. Who is his name? Jesus. I have a granddaughter. I'm going to be through by 12:30. I have a granddaughter, and I want you to know something. She comes to our house every day, and she's not quite two, okay? She sits at the table, and we get ready to eat, and she does this, amen. And every, when she does that, she's reminding us, we got to pray. And of course, we started that with her, but we sit and I say, in Jesus' name, I make sure that child hears Jesus every day of the week. Jesus' name is going to be heard coming out of my mouth. I'd rather praise Jesus than praise Ron. I'd rather praise Jesus than praise Gail. I praise Jesus every day. She's going to hear Jesus till every day of my life as long as I'm with her. The scripture says this is what we're supposed to do. Enter his gates with thanksgivings, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Use his name in accordance to our thanks. And then last, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I was driving by a church just this week, and as I was driving by, I had a big sign that said, God is good all the time. How many families say that in their homes? I know we say it in church. Do you say it at home? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I was in Ukraine. And that's one of the sayings they had continuously. Wherever you went, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. In Ukrainian. I could speak it then. But even in the market, you walk up to people you have never seen before in your life in Ukraine and say, God is good. And they would say, and all the time, and all the time, God is good. This was greetings in Ukraine, along with the Easter greetings. He is risen. He's risen indeed. I believe, not just in church, but in our homes, thanksgiving should be clear to a child. So clear, there is no question who you're thanking. If my child says, thank you for something, I'm going to look at them and say, thank God. You know, I am nothing. I do my best, but I'm nothing compared to what God has done for you. When I die, I want my child to say of me only, he always pointed me to Jesus. That's all I care about. From the day I was born, he pointed me to Jesus. And he taught me where thanksgiving really comes from and how we extol it. This morning, as you think about your Thanksgiving traditions or your Thanksgiving meal, even if you're alone, Amanda, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. And I've got news for you. In thanksgiving is healing. In thanksgiving is strength. In thanksgiving is hope. In thanksgiving is love. In thanksgiving is a future. Those that are unthankful, they've already lost it. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we, of all people, should be thankful this Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, for this day we do thank you. And we thank you that you love us and that you care for us. Teach us how to give you thanks in all things. And to openly, verbally, sing your praises. Openly, verbally, extol your name this Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.